This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Good morning to you. It's a Monday, and we've got plenty on what happened this weekend with both our baseball and softball teams. Unfortunately, both lost the series to FAU, but plenty of good moments to share. And all around the conference, there were some interesting moments. There's just 1 week left in the softball season, and I will start off with a correction and explain later because we've got some great football and track and field news to get to first before we get to softball and baseball. But all along, I've been assuming something about the softball conference tournament format, namely that with now 10 teams in the league, the bottom two would not make the conference tournament. Well, that's not true. Learn what the new format is over the weekend, and we'll tell you where the Bulls fit into it and what their situation is going into the last week of the season. It does change things, not drastically for the Bulls, but a little for the Bulls and a lot, perhaps, for some other teams, including the one that just took two of three, the FAU Owls. So we'll explain all that, tell you what went on elsewhere, and how it impacts South Florida, which is what you're listening to Bulls Beat for. But certainly track and field and football, with a couple of members of the football team, one that hardly played but is a very interesting story, not drafted this weekend but signed a free agent contract, so we want to tell you about. And track and field was just phenomenal at the Penn Relays. We got another new member but familiar to Amir Abdulrahim of the men's basketball team to pass along to you, so let's get to it. Speaking of the basketball team, Byron Matos was part of it briefly. He ended up transferring over to football a couple of years ago, which was its own very interesting story, and you thought, okay, that's neat, and honestly didn't think too much more of it. When he got on the field, it was against Howard, and that was on the defensive line. Remember, he stands 6'9", so Jeff Scott actually thought, let's have him be a field goal blocker, and it was just kind of a cool story. That was that, right? Changed to become an offensive lineman and really left the program. He was looking maybe to transfer somewhere else and instead found a home at the NFL's International Player Pathway Program, which had 16 different players, most of them, frankly, kickers from Ireland or England. But he, from the Dominican Republic, was certainly a different situation. And whether or not it pans out, it's awesome that he has been picked up and signed by the Miami Dolphins. Member of the offensive line who played a lot more on the offensive line, obviously Donovan Jennings, who set a school record appearing in 55 career games, tied for seven most in starts with 45. And he, of course, is from Gaither High School, will be headed to the Green Bay Packers, who I understand gave him more of a signing bonus than most teams do for an undrafted free agent. And yeah, that is going to be a guy that we cheer for and root on. We'll let you know anybody else from the football squad that picks up any opportunities. A rookie minicamp invite extended to cornerback Braxton Clark, who transferred in from Nebraska last year. So Matos, Jennings, and Clark are your Bulls that are in NFL camps. We've got softball and baseball highlights coming up, and also kind of sad, it's almost the end of our softball and baseball play-by-play. We'll discuss that, and again, more details give you what happened around the conference and where both teams head as far as the conference standings go here towards the end of the season. But we definitely want to get into track and field, going to Philadelphia and competing in the Penn Relays, a massive event that not only invites, obviously, some of the top college programs in the country, but from all over the age range, there's the top high schoolers in the country. There's 40 and up category. It's just a huge event. Franklin Field on the University of Penn campus. And man, did their relay teams produce some thrilling moments, including three victories. The one in the 4x100 men's situation was unbelievable. Get there. But we'll go in order. First of all, the women, Zariah Ahlers-Laberd, Taryn Peterson, Shania Benjamin, and Janiyah Burton won the 4x200 meters, which is not normally a college event, but they're pretty good at it because the Bulls won it for the second straight year, and they won it going away in track and field terms by more than a second, a minute 33.19 seconds, whereas Duke was 134.32. Then about 15 minutes later, the men's team was victorious. Saminu Abdul-Rashid, Shavoy Reed, Jaleel Kroll, and Nate Metellus. A minute 22.8, about 0.3 seconds faster than the Houston Cougars. Team from Texas A&M was behind the Bulls, Maryland, but to beat Houston, which is always one of the top programs in the country, was quite something. That was Friday's excitement, and while they were competing in those finals, the qualifying for the 4x1 was going on, and the Bulls men's team was fastest of any of the qualifying times in those heats, and they barely bettered it, and they needed to barely better it on Saturday. 39.34 seconds, it was a photo finish for Treshawn Bowie, Devontae Archer, Gabriel Maranta, and Markel Jones. And it turned out by 0.01 seconds, they edged Houston across the actual tape. There is tape there, which was dramatic, and the video was fantastic. I know a lot of people responded to it, including Michael Kelly. You can check it out and all of it at the USF Track and Field social media page. But they were the champions. The women finished 7th in the 4x100 meters. And another podium, meaning top three finish, was turned in by the 4x400, which actually ran the second fastest time in program history. That was Bowie, Reed, Archer, and Maranta in that event. And then Markel Jones was 3rd. This was on Thursday in the men's 400-meter hurdles. That was just in Philadelphia, and that was plenty of enough of an achievement for a weekend. I'm sure we'll talk to head coach Eric Jenkins as they have this week off from competition, and then it's time for the outdoor track and field meet, which is just exciting to speak in these terms. The men should be considered a favorite to win. That will be in San Antonio, Texas. Now, it wasn't just that group that went to Philadelphia. Plenty of other competitors were in Jacksonville, as we mentioned, for the East Coast Relays hosted by UNF. And for the 29th and 30th time this season, a program record was set. Goodness Aradia did so in the men's long jump, 7.94 meters. That's 26 feet and a 3/4 inch jump. The 8th longest jump in Division I this year. And the other program record came in the discus. Vincent Ugwuoke finished 2nd place with a throw of 61.44 meters, 201 feet 7 inches. Also the 8th longest throw in Division I this season. More good stuff. Darian Mills, 2nd in the 400-meter hurdles. Teammate Tyler Drew was 2 spots behind him. Top 10 school mark in the 200-meter dash was turned in by Jermaine Digges. Top 10 in the women's pole vault to Madeline Dutz. Full details and links to the full results of both events up at GoUSFBulls.com. I don't know about you, but I always enjoy when Coach Amir Abdulrahim puts out one of his videos walking the campus and sometimes walking with a new member of the Bulls and reminding us all to relax. Yes, Chris Youngblood has moved on to Tuscaloosa, which is his hometown, to play for, you know, a Final Four team from last year. We know that Celton Miguel is off to Maryland and Cason Pryor's in the transfer portal as well. But plenty of talent coming back and plenty of talent coming in, and the latest is Quincy Adamokoye, Q Money. I did not know that was his nickname, but thank you very much for that, Coach Raheem. He started off at Temple, so he has seen the Bulls. Frankly, did not play a ton with the Owls. They averaged around 7 minutes his freshman season, and then back in 21-22, he averaged 11 minutes and around 2 points a game. Really blossomed at Kennesaw State. Ironically, last season, his season that he spent with Coach Amir Abdulrahim, he came off the bench to the tune of around 15 minutes a game, shot 37% on threes, that's 33 makes for an average of 4.5 points, and then last year got regular starts for the first time in his career. The 6'6", 170-pound guard went for 25 minutes a game, starting 20 of their contests, and averaged in double figures at 10.5 points per game again. Very proficient from three-point land, 55%, 54 makes last season, shot 72% from the free throw line, scored a career-high 22 points in an overtime win against NC Asheville. That was his 2nd start. He also happened to hit 5 three-pointers in that game. So the guard from Bloomington, Illinois, becomes another former Kennesaw State Owl to join Amir Abdulrahim and the Bulls.